Thankful for our booster choir, the enthusiasm that some of them have. Some of us could stand to get a little of that. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. This evening we'll study verses 46 through 50 as we continue our study through the Gospels. Tonight we're going to learn about the family of Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes, you might write down Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35, and also Luke chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. And these are all parallel passages of this account in Scripture, Matthew 12, 46 to 50, Mark 3, 31 to 35, and Luke 8, verses 19 to 21. And we want to learn about the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the word of the Lord tonight. And I pray and trust that you'll be blessed from the word of God this evening. Amen. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this incredible truth that we see tonight, that the disciples, the followers of Christ, are of the family of God. Lord, help that truth to sink deep into our hearts. May it affect the way that we live, the way that we love. And may you get the glory tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider the family of Jesus Christ, we want to notice the natural family of Jesus and the supernatural family of Jesus. That is, that family that is beyond the natural. And you'll notice, first of all, the natural family of Jesus. While he yet talked to the people in verse 46, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. We notice in Mark's account, there came his brethren and his mother standing without. And in Luke, he then came to him, his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. I want you to notice that they came to him. Now, these are the mother, this is the mother and the brethren of Jesus Christ. And some people want to debate and say, well, it's not really his literal brothers. This is his cousins. And, you know, in the Hebrew culture, you would call your cousin your brother and things like that. But I tend to think that it really is his biological brethren, those who were born of Joseph and Mary. And Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 to 56 kind of gives us some insight to this. If you want to just flip over there, Matthew 13, verse 54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And so when he came back into his own country and they heard the preaching of Jesus, they were amazed at his wisdom. They were amazed at the works that he did. And they said, well, wait a minute. Isn't this just the carpenter's son? I mean, we know his mama, Mary, over there, and we know his brothers, and we know his sisters. What in the world is going on? And so I believe that these are literally the brothers of Jesus Christ, physical brothers, and I guess you'd have to say half-brothers, right? Because they share the same mama, but not the same father. But I want you to notice something about these. They came to him, and can I just encourage you that no matter how long you're saved, that you always keep coming to Jesus? Amen. And it's an amazing thing that they had not gone with Jesus. They didn't follow Jesus. They weren't with Jesus. they had to come to him, because apparently they weren't staying with him like his disciples did. And what a terrible thing. In Luke, he says they could not come at him for the press. As a matter of fact, they were removed from Jesus. When others came to him, they couldn't get back to him. And can I encourage you tonight that we don't need to take Jesus for granted? Amen. Listen, we need to stay close to him. We need to not let anything come between us and the Lord. We need to stay close to him. His natural family didn't do that. And so they came to him. They couldn't get to him for the press. And in Matthew's account in verse 47 and in Mark's account in verse 32, the Bible says that, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak with thee." And they had a desire to speak to the Lord. By the way, aren't you glad that we don't have to stand in line to talk to Jesus today? Amen. Aren't you glad that we don't have to physically go to where he is and wait in line and try to get through the crowd to get to him? But that we can come boldly to the throne room of God. We can come boldly into his presence anywhere, anytime, because of what Christ has done for us. They stood outside, they wanted to speak to him, and they sent somebody who called unto him. And then I want you to notice the supernatural family of Jesus. He asked the question in verse 48. So here comes his mom, Mary. Here comes his brethren. They're standing outside. They're desiring to get in. They can't get in. So they send somebody, "Go tell Jesus that we're here to talk to him." And so when they get to Jesus and they say, "Your mother and your brethren, behold, look, out, they're outside. They want to talk to you, Jesus." And he asked the question. He, in verse 48, he answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" I want to tell you that all my life, when reading the scriptures, you come across this verse, I've always had a hard time with it. I've thought, man, that kind of sounds hateful. I mean, your mom is outside, your brothers are outside, and the Lord just says to the one that says, "Hey, listen, they're outside, they want to talk to you." He says, "Well, who is my mother? Who are my brethren?" And Jesus is going to teach us something incredible tonight, friends, that our relationship with Jesus Christ is far more important than any blood relationship that we have. You get that? I think that family is important. I think that God instituted the family and the relationship with the husband and wife, the relationship with children and their parents, is an important relationship. It's a vital relationship. I believe that family is important. I believe that most of the great problems we have in our nation today are because the family has been eroded. But I'm here to tell you that there is a relationship that's far more important than any family relationship you have on the earth. He looked round about on them which sat about him. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 34, he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." In our text in Matthew 12 and verse 49, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." So Jesus is there and he's preaching and teaching his disciples, his followers. He's got them all around him. And when they come and say, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you." He said, "Who is my mother and my brethren?" And he looked around the room at his disciples, those who were following him, those who were listening to him, those who were going where he went, those who were doing what he said. He looked at them and then he stretches forth his hand and he says, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Well, what in the world is the Lord saying? He says this in Luke's account, in verse 21, Luke 8, 21, and he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." In Mark 3 and verse 35, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." And in Matthew 12 and verse 50, we read, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother, is my brother and my sister and my mother." What the Lord is saying is, you are not my family by birth, physical birth. You're not my family by blood, physical blood. You are my family by faith. when you hear the word of God and you obey the word of God. Let me give you some scriptures tonight. Let's look at them together. Let's start with John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. John chapter 1, verse 10. John says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, who was his own? Well, the nation of Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews. And not just that, the people of his own country. Not just that, the people of his own town. Not just that, some of the people of his own family, his own flesh and blood. He came to them, and they would not receive him. They would not believe in him. And what does he say in verse 12? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And listen, I know this is a truth that you guys have understood for a long time, but I don't think we realize how sweet it is to be a child of God. There's an idea in the world that says everybody is a child of God, and we know that's not true. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that if you're not saved, you're a child of the devil. Jesus told the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. You don't belong to me, you don't belong to God, you belong to the devil. And listen, only by faith in Jesus Christ can we be made the sons of God. Not because we're born of blood into his family, not by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but we come into the family of God. We become sons and daughters of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And listen, he said, if you hear the word of God and do it, that makes you my brother and my sister and my mother. You become part of the family of God by hearing the word of God and doing it. Well, what is the word of God? What is the will of God? The will of God is that you would receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that received it and believed on his name, they become the sons of God. Look with me now to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And listen, remember that word quicken means to make alive. And the one who raised Christ from the dead will make you alive, your mortal body, by his spirit. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Listen, in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul is trying to tell these people in the churches, he's saying, listen, if you have the Spirit of God, you belong to God. If you don't have a spirit, you don't belong to God. And if you belong to God, that means the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And his spirit bears witness with your spirit so you know that you're a child of God. Is that not exactly what John said in 1 John? He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, friends, when you're saved, you know that you're saved. And in Romans 8, he's saying, listen, when you're saved and you know that you're saved, it's going to change the way that you live your life. You're going to be willing to suffer for Christ if you are born again. You're going to be willing to be changed by God. Your life is going to be different. You're not going to follow after the flesh, but you're going to live after the Spirit. You're going to mortify the deeds of the body and live after the Spirit. Why? Because you're a child of God. Listen. He says in verse 16, look there at Romans 8:16. If the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Friends, we have been given the adoption of children. And God the Father has made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that means? We have an inheritance with Christ. An inheritance, the Bible says, it is uncorruptible. An inheritance that is undefiled and incorruptible and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are born again. Listen, we have been made children of God. How about Galatians chapter 4? Will you look at that with me? Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Galatians 4 and verse 1 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And in the Roman law, your biological child, your son that would come up, he had the opportunity to be Lord of all. But unless his father would legally adopt him, he had no right. And Paul's writing to the church of Galatia, and he says, listen, we were under the law. It was like we were servants and we were under the law. But when Christ came, we've been adopted out of the law, and we're no longer servants, but now we are children of God. And when we cry out to God, we can cry out, Abba, Father. We saw it in Romans 8, we see it in Galatians, and it means, it's like a baby saying, Daddy. A little baby saying, Papa. A little baby that can just crawl up in their daddy's lap. I want to tell you, when I get home, and my kids are excited to see me come home. They're always more excited than my wife is. I'm not sure why that is. And Magdalene's running around now. And I want to tell you that when I sit down in my chair and Magdalene runs over with her arms up and wants to crawl up in my lap, it is the sweetest thing. And friends, that's exactly what we can do with God our Father. We can run to him with arms outstretched and say, Abba. We can run with outstretched arms and say, Father. And we can literally, or spiritually, we can crawl up in the lap of our Heavenly Father. Man, it's an incredible truth, friends, to know that we are the children of God. My brethren, are these which hear the word of God and do it. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, whosoever shall do the will of God which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. I want to remind you tonight that we, all those who are believers, are children of God. Every believer. We around the church, we say brother, we say sister. And when we do that, we're thinking about the fact that they're our brother, our sister, right? I love that. I love in our church when somebody says Brother Isaac or somebody says Sister So-and-so. Why? Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a special bond. That's a bond that's stronger than any bond on the planet. That's a bond that is put together through the Holy Spirit of God. But get this, friends. When you're calling somebody brother or sister, you need to keep in mind not only they're your brother or your sister, but they're a brother or sister to Christ. And we ought to love and respect those who are in the family of God. Let me throw some more verses at you. We ought to love them after the example of Christ, how he loved his brethren here, and we ought to love after his commandment. John 13:33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And friends, we ought to love one another, and it's more than just saying brother or sister. It's love. And love is action. Love is the way that we act towards one another. Love is what we do for one another. Love is more than just being friendly to somebody. Love is far more than that. Love is looking for the needs of others and meeting the needs of others. It's really caring about somebody else. And listen, Jesus said, I want you to love one another, your brothers and sisters and me. But remember, that person here in the church sitting next to you across the aisle on the other side, that person is a brother or sister to Christ. We ought to love them. John 5:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15:12. And John 15:17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And friends, I want to just say this. If we love one another, we ought to want to be with one another. I'm thankful for you. Here I am preaching to the choir, as they say, Sunday night. I'm thankful that you see the importance of being in God's house every time the church is assembled. And people today don't think it matters. People in churches today, it's just, you know, Sunday morning only, and that's good enough, just when I have time. And I understand that there are things that keep people from coming. Listen, if I have the flu, you're not going to see me at church. You're welcome. There are good reasons not to be here. But I want to go ahead and tell you tonight that most of the reasons people have for not being here are not good reasons. They're what we call affectionately excuses. And they're what I call most of the time lame excuses. And listen, I get it. There are reasons not to come, and there are valid reasons not to be here, and we all go through those times, and that's understandable. But I want to tell you right now, in your heart, you know the difference. And it's important for us to be here. Why? So that we can come together and get what we need from church? No. We're to come together so that we can provoke one another to love and good works. Amen. Listen, people, when we come here, if you're coming just for what you can get, you're missing it. We come together as a church for what we can give in worship to God and encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, provoking one another to love and to good works. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And friends, we don't want fake love. We want real love. Not feigned, but unfeigned. Real love. And when we love one another, it needs to be genuine. And when we love one another, it needs to be with pure heart. And with that pure heart, it ought to be fervently. There ought to be some passion. And we ought to really care about one another. 1 John 3:10-11. In this the children of God are manifest, in the children of the devil. Did you hear that? 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And listen, if Christ is in you, and he's made you part of his family, then he puts his Spirit inside of you, and you, by his Spirit, The nature of the new man is to love one another. The nature of the inner man, it's natural in the born-again Christian to love others in Christ. And if we love one another, then we'll do good to one another. Didn't he say the whole law is fulfilled in this? Listen, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie to him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie about him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to murder him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet his stuff. If you love your neighbor, you're going to do good. And that's the message that God gave from the beginning. Love one another. I got one more for you. 1 John 3 and verse 20 through 24. 1 John 3 verses 20 to 24. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. What's the commandment of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. If you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then his Spirit lives inside of you, and you have a desire born of God to love the brethren. 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Listen, if you don't love, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When Jesus' mother and his brethren came, they wanted to speak with him. They couldn't even get in the house because there were so many people there. Now, I've got it in my mind that maybe they should have already been there. Maybe they should have been with Jesus. And friends, we come to Christ for salvation. We believe on him. But if we're honest, sometimes, even though we've been made part of the family of God, we get away from him. We're not with him every day. We're not walking with him. We're not faithful to be near him and to sit and learn at his feet every day like we can, to walk with him in the way as we go through our lives. And we get away from him. We get things in between us and God. And it doesn't have to be like that. Jesus is not apart from us physically. He is, but spiritually he's accessible to us anywhere, anytime. That's why he said, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And we don't have to travel somewhere to see him and wait outside the door. No, by faith, we go to him through the Spirit. We go to him, and he is accessible all the time. And what I'm trying to say is, we're without excuse. We can be close to Jesus every moment of every day. They were outside. They wanted to talk to him. They had to send somebody else to say, we're out here and we want to talk to Jesus. And when he looked, he said, who is my mother and my brethren? And he motions with the hand and says to the disciples, if you hear my word and obey it, you're my disciple. If you hear my word and obey it, you're my brothers. You're my sisters. And friends, what an incredible blessing to be made a part of the family of God. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. And while they're coming, I want you to consider this. Have you ever gone somewhere when you started to get a little older and you kind of went out without mom and dad the first few times? Did your parents ever tell you to remember that you're part of this family and to act like it? Anybody else's parents ever tell you something like that? You're a part of this family, and you better represent us well. Now, for some of us, we don't really understand why our parents would want us to act like our family. You're part of this family. Act like somebody else's family. Right? But there's a reason for that. We say, now listen, remember. I might say to my kids, remember, you're a slate. Now act like a slate. We want to represent our family well. We want to act right. We want to do what's right. We want to uphold the family name. Well, that's important for our families, isn't it? Because even a child is known by his deeds. But how much more important is it to remember every day that we are children of God? And we are representing the family of God, the kingdom of God on earth. And we ought to act like it. Represent him well. What an incredible truth that we are children of God. And we're going to get ready for this invitation. Let's stand together. What number are we going to sing?
Page
560. For 560, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, any decision you need to make for Christ tonight, to be saved, follow him in baptism and church membership, just to get something right, whatever it is, would you come?